Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. It's the second week of Advent, so we will be lighting two Advent candles today. One to represent hope, as we saw last week, and the other to represent peace. So I'll light those candles and then we'll say a prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you bring us hope and you bring us peace. And Lord, we need those two characteristics so much in our lives right now. We need that hope that we can only find in you to keep us going each day. And Lord, we long for peace in our world so that we can really, truly worship you as the bringer of peace, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for giving us these candles as a sign of your light coming into the world. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So, we're continuing on in our series during Advent of looking at how Jesus' birth disturbs us. And so last week we began to look at how Jesus' birth disturbed people and shook them up from their slumber. We saw how Mary and Joseph were willing to sacrifice their ordinary, comfortable, normal lives to serve God and see miraculous things occur in their lives. We are continuing to think about how Jesus disturbs us as we look at the shepherds. We will think about how Jesus disturbs prejudice and social norms to make room for everyone. Often when we picture the shepherds at Christmas, we imagine kindly, well-presented gentlemen with pristine, clean robes and checkered tea towels wrapped around their heads. Or wait, is that the kids' nativity that I'm thinking of? But we imagine them holding these beautiful, docile lambs with clean, manicured coats, with other equally clean and beautiful sheep munching happily in the grass in the gorgeous field that they're in. But the reality is much uglier and rougher. Dressed in clothing that needs much washing and mending, the grime of working out in the field all day and all night streaked across their faces, hands and clothes. They would have smelled foul of sweat, sheep, excrement and mud. The job of a shepherd was grueling, low paid, socially unacceptable and disgusting, with long unsociable hours, and the job was anything but glamorous, with the hours spent at the mercy of the elements of a Middle Eastern day and night, with few living things for company other than the sheep and other shepherds. They were the outcasts of society. They lived outside the borders of the town, as they were not welcomed in the town centre. Often, they stayed out with the sheep in the night to guard them against wild animals and crafty thieves. I imagine these shepherds were looked down upon in much the same way as we often look down upon the homeless and those sleeping rough on the streets. Shepherds were considered by others as the lowest of the low. Uneducated, dirty, smelly peasants who belonged in the fields where they could be kept away from ordinary, decent folk. Let's imagine what it's like for the shepherds. You know what it's like being a shepherd? You have any idea what my life's like? I tell you, it's downright miserable, that's what it is. I'm the man who people talk about when they say, stay away from strangers, and don't talk to strangers. When people see me in town, they hold their kids close like I'm some kind of boogeyman. They cross to the other side of the street, or quickly walk away. They never meet my eyes, but they're not ashamed to talk about me behind my back. You think I don't hear it? Well, I tell you, I do. Ew! Look at that man! Must be one of those shepherds. Let's get out of here before his stench rubs off on us. Or I hear them saying, hold on to your belongings, love. There's a shepherd here. I've never stolen a thing in my life. They act like they know me just because I'm a shepherd. But they don't. They don't see me as a human. To them, I'm vermin. The lowest of the low. I try not to let myself fall for these thoughts. I mean, it's not my fault my clothes are ragged and torn. You think being a shepherd pays well? As if. I'm lucky if I get enough to feed myself and my family. And as for the smell, well, of course I smell. All day, every day, I am sweating my arse off, leading the sheep to the fields to graze, then moving them on again to find water and back again to find a field. And that's not counting the stupid sheep that go wandering off to goodness knows where. I have to go find them, pick them back up and take them back to the flock. So yeah, I stink. I'd like to see you try this job without getting pungy. I suppose it's true I ain't all la-di-da educated like some of the toffs in town. But I ain't stupid. I know the law, can recite the Torah just as well as any of those fancy teachers of the law or Pharisees. I hate how they look down on me, just because I work with my hands instead of my head. But what good are those lot anyway? All they do is sit around in their fancy houses or in the temple and go on and on about how we need to follow this rule or that. But basically, all they're doing is shutting people out. I'm shunned by everyone because those religious leaders say we are godless, because we don't go to the temple at the correct times to do our sacrifices and rituals. Well, of course we don't. If we all left our sheep just because they say prayers have to happen at such and such time, then all the sheep would wander off or get eaten. And then where would they be? They wouldn't have their precious lambs for the sacrifices then, would they? But no, they don't think like that. Instead, they believe we are deliberately ignoring the law and going our own way. I believe in God just as much as they do. I just have to say my prayers here, in the field. Surely God still gets them. He's God. Those rules by those religious lot, they don't mean nothing. But you know, sometimes it's hard not to believe what they say about myself. I sometimes find myself thinking I must have done something awful to be where I am. God's punishing me, or maybe my parents, for the wrongs we've done to him. I mean, why else would I be living this life? And so many people looking down on me. They can't all be wrong, can they? I must be a nasty, horrible man. That's what everyone says. So it must be true, right? Or at least, that's what I used to think. But last night, something amazing happened. We were out in the field watching over the sheep, me and a couple of the other shepherds. And then there was this blinding light, and this figure suddenly appeared out of nowhere. I mean, I gotta tell you, it's honestly impossible to sneak up on us. We were literally in a field, and I can see everything for miles. And it was a full moon, so we could see pretty well in the dark. It's not like he could sneak up. Honest, one moment it's just us and the sheep, and then this man has appeared the next. So obviously we were scared. Who was this? What did he want? How did he get here? And then he said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I mean, wow. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine I'd meet an actual honest-to-God angel and the message he gave us. The Messiah was here. The one we've been waiting for centuries, is here. And then more angels just appeared from nowhere. More than I could have possibly counted. They just seemed to keep going. And they began singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Now, I'm not normally one to go listening to music, but I could have spent hours listening to them sing. It was beautiful. And it felt right, I felt it right inside, like it was touching my soul. Unbelievable. Because the angels came to us, I assumed this message was being said to everyone. I mean, why would an angel come to tell me if it hadn't already gone to everyone else in the town? I honestly thought we were the last to know. I was just amazed that the angels bothered to tell us at all. I mean, people never tell us anything. Why'd it be any different with God? But it was different. We weren't just one of many getting to know the amazing news. We were the first, the only ones in Bethlehem told what was going on. You have no idea how much of an honour that is. Us, the shepherds, who have been cast out by civilised society. We were chosen to hear the important message. Us, the shepherds, who have been told countless times that we're godless and cursed, were chosen by God to see the Messiah. I always thought I was useless, worthless, unworthy. But yesterday God told me different. He proved to me that he thought I was special, loved. I can't explain how much this has affected me. I don't know how to put everything into words, my feelings, my thoughts. All I know is this has changed everything for me. I know now that God loves even little old me. God chose me out of all the people in the town to go and see the Messiah. He could have called anyone, but he didn't. He didn't call those fancy religious types constantly in the temple, showing everyone how godly they are. Nor King Herod or his court, who think they've run the place. He didn't even call the rich men in the city, who actually run the place. Instead, God chose me. I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I'm not going to question it. I have seen the Messiah, and everyone needs to know. I don't care what they think or say. I gotta tell them. I'll even shout the news from across the street if they try to cross the road to get out of my way. Because if God can let me know the Messiah, then anyone and everyone can get to know him too. He's not just come for the posh, snooty, tooty lot. He's come for everyone. We all have prejudices and biases about those who are worthy of something and those who aren't. We split the world up into us and them, and then we allow our differences, the beautiful differences that God created, to divide us and cause us to fight each other. It's senseless, and yet we all do it. But God works to combat these prejudices and biases. When Jesus came to the people in the first century, he flouted all the human-made laws about social status and hierarchy. Jesus wasn't born to a king or queen, or even an influential rich couple, or to the religious elite. He didn't get born in a palace, a mansion, or the temple. Instead, he came into the world to an ordinary carpenter's family. He was born in a guest room in a crowded place because there was no room for him elsewhere. And the first witnesses to his birth were not important people. They weren't even ordinary people. They were the outcasts, the rejects, the ones that even ordinary people sneered at and looked down upon. The shepherds were given as much respect as the homeless are in our society. They were people to be scared of, to walk away from. No one in their right minds would invite them to the birth of any child, let alone such a special baby. But God didn't care about human social conventions. God didn't allow our blind prejudices to stop him from inviting these people. No, instead, God made a special point by inviting the shepherds. He was demonstrating that the Messiah came for all people, and he came especially for those who had been rejected by others. God cares more about what is in our hearts than what our clothes look like or what job we do. He cares about who we are rather than what we look like. The shepherds were the most unlikely choice for witnesses to the Messiah's birth, but their response shows that God knew what he was doing when he chose them. They immediately went out into the streets, praising God and telling all they could about what they had seen. They didn't care about what people thought of them. They just had to tell the good news. I wonder, if it had been the religious elite who had seen Jesus, how would they have responded? I somehow doubt it would have been with as much exuberance and joy as the shepherds did. God chose the shepherds because he knew their hearts were ready to receive Christ. How often do we let our prejudices get in the way of inviting people into the kingdom of God? How often do we stop ourselves from offering an invitation to someone because they are not our kind of people? Do we sometimes find ourselves wanting to cross over to the other side of the road to avoid someone? These are the questions that Jesus' presence causes us to ask ourselves. He challenges us to change our ways. Jesus shows by his life and example how to welcome the stranger and accept someone who is different to us. And he challenges us to do likewise, to follow his example and exclude no one. Will we allow the presence of Jesus to disturb our prejudices to make room to welcome everyone? Let's pray. Almighty God, we are so sorry that we split the world into us and them, these type of people and not these. And Lord, we're so sorry that we have not had compassion and love for all people, but have shunned and rejected so many. Jesus, come into our hearts and disturb our prejudices, unsettle our biases, and help us to make room for everyone, no matter who they are or what they have done. Lord, breathe your spirit into us and make us love people like you do. In your name we pray. Amen.